Hailing from the great cold state of Alaska, we are the Frozen Gamers Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Dugas. Joining me again for episode 87 is a man who took the highway to the danger zone but missed his exit and ended up in the twilight zone, Mr. Scott Summers.
That explains the beard. I've been saying for years and years that I have a family living in there that I feed with taquitos. They keep it nice and clean, so the twilight zone would be a pretty good place for it. You should grow yours out. You need to talk to that wife of yours and say, "Wife, I want an epic beard that I can grow all the way down to my navel," and see what she says.
I'm sure she wouldn't mind, but I don't really want to grow it out. I prefer it. It just gets gnarly as it grows, and so I like to keep it trimmed.
That's what these are for. I go through about six of these a year because I wear them out. I comb my beard more than most women comb their hair. That's just the way you got to do it.
Anyway.
how
are things going for you, Mr. Summers?
Well, I'm actually just getting over a pretty gnarly cold. Thankfully, it was pretty short. We had our Super Bowl party last Sunday, which you well remember. And then I woke up Monday morning and had a terrible cold. And it basically just is starting to clear up today. I might have a few coughing fits, so we can apologize to our listeners right up front. But hopefully it should be able to be pretty well under control. How about yourself?
Pretty good. We had a good trip in and out of town. Thankfully, the weather was great. The roads were great. We got all of our shopping done. Didn't spend too much money and got home at a good time.
Yeah, did you do a turnaround? No, you couldn't have done a turnaround and been home by now.
No, we went in yesterday morning and came back this morning.
Oh, okay, yeah. I hate turnarounds, but they're about the only way we can do it with all of our farm animals. It's really hard to leave the farm for more than about 12 hours because you got to milk the goats and feed the chickens three times a day and gather the eggs, all that stuff. So usually when we go in, well, we've only been in twice since we even moved here 6 months ago, but when we do, it's a turnaround.
Yeah, I don't think we could do that. I mean, it's just too much driving for one day. I mean, we've done it once or twice, but I hate doing that, so.
Yeah, no, I can't blame you. It's not an enjoyable thing.
Yeah. But we got all of our shopping done yesterday, so today, I mean, there was a tiny bit that I had to do today, stuff we couldn't find yesterday, but not a whole lot, and we got out like 10 o'clock.
Well, good. So. Glad to hear that. Good.
Beyond that, I guess there's not much. I mean, it's been going pretty well.
You seem excited. Are you less than excited right now?
No, I'm still adjusting to being back home.
Yeah, I know the feeling, man. That living 3 hours away from anywhere is really difficult to, deal with.
Yeah.
But, you know, such is life. And we can't even make it any easier by going to Valdez because their prices are just so outrageously expensive that Valdez makes living in the Copper River Valley where we are look like we're slumming it. Their costs are so expensive down there.
Yeah. So what have you been playing lately?
Well, you know, that's interesting. I told you, and I don't know if anybody else I'm sure nobody else is aware of it, but I finished Fallout, which was great. The game was great up until I got to the very last quest in the storyline. And once I was done with that quest, it seemed to me that I had absolutely zero playability, and it didn't seem that there was much in the way of replayability, because you pretty much go through the same quest progression. And so finished the last quest, went, okay, well, I'm done with everything that I need to do. There isn't anything else that's really important, so I'm just going to kind of be done with that. I actually uninstalled it to make some room on my computer because I've got about 100 gigabytes worth of games as it is on my laptop. And got rid of that and picked up XCOM 2. Have you ever played the XCOM games?
I've always heard really great things about it. And I got it for free through PlayStation Plus, free, it was included in the subscription.
Okay.
But I still have never played it.
Well, I played one about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, and just loved it. It was phenomenal. The game is in terms of turn-based strategy games, it is just absolutely amazing. The graphics are fun. The playability is fun. Every map is, with the exception of a few maps are standard, but most of them are dynamically generated as you enter a map, and so you never know exactly what you're going to do. And even if you do what I do and you end up losing somebody on your team, you go back to your most recent save. But even then, that changes it because the mobs aren't coming from the same place every time. So it's dynamic as you go along. So I downloaded the second one, bought the second one, played the very first just intro level, and went, you know what, before I get into this, I want to go back and watch the first story again. And of course, with any good game, to watch the story, you got to play it for 40 or 60 hours. So I'm about three quarters of the way through my second playthrough of XCOM. The first XCOM, well, Enemy Unknown. I guess the first XCOM was 15 years ago or something. But Enemy Unknown, and so I'll finish that and then do Enemy Within, which is the DLC that came with it a couple years back. And then I'll jump into XCOM 2. And it looks like a phenomenal game. You can actually set up your squad however you want, so you're not just given random characters. It was confusing, though, because I went in and I set up all my characters as the characters from Stargate SG-1 because I'm a nerd like that. And then I went and started playing XCOM Enemy Unknown and was waiting for the characters to show up, and they never did, and realized that I was playing a different game. They're still waiting for me in XCOM 2, so that'll be my next play is going to be, I don't know, spending 80 or 100 hours in XCOM 2 to see all the wonderful things that are out there.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm liking it. What about you? What are you playing these days?
Well, let's see here. Lots of Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Tell me about that.
I mean, it's pretty much the same kind of deal that you get in the first game. The reboot that came out in 2013. Pretty much the same thing, except that there's more in the game. It's longer. I've definitely put in more hours into the game already than I put into the previous one with having collected everything and gotten 100% in all areas. I didn't do all the upgrades in the first one, but this one I'm going for everything, and I think I probably have around 25 hours in the game.
Okay.
But I really enjoy it. I mean, it's just as good as the first one, if not better. Of course, it's awesome being able to run the game really smoothly. It's really great, and I know there's not going to be any replayability once I finish it, but I mean, that's just because of the fact that, you know, once you've finished it, once you've done all the story, which is, you know, pretty fairly lackluster, I wasn't really expecting much out of it, and then, I've completed all the puzzles and found all of the secrets and everything, it just, there's not much point in going back to it.
Now, how long do you spend on a puzzle before you give up and Google the answer?
Well, I don't think there. I haven't come across any puzzles in this game that have been difficult enough for me to have to Google.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, I find all of it fun, and I think that it all just works really well. But, you know, it's, I wouldn't say it's particularly difficult, but it's not, I feel like it's a good enough challenge just with the mechanics, and of course, with it being Metroid type of game, you know, where you have to have certain things in order to progress through certain, you know, get access to certain areas and things like that. It definitely just gives reason to backtrack a lot, which, you know, if not for the fast travel, would be a big pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah. I hate games that don't allow for that. That was my biggest problem with massively multiplayer games early on, is the travel system. It was such a time sink to get from point A to point D, going through point C and B, that it just, that's the way they kept players playing for so long. You would have to spend, I remember one time in vanilla World of Warcraft, so this was like 2005, and going from, like, you would start to find a group for a dungeon, move to another area, start the dungeon, run the dungeon for 2 hours. By the time everything was said and done, it was a 4.5 to 5 hour ordeal to run 1 2-hour dungeon. Or just getting from, you know, one area to another area, if you didn't have all the flight points, you had to run, and sometimes running across Azeroth would take 45 minutes. It was just a ridiculous time sink, and I know that Blizzard knew exactly what they were doing, because if you enter, put in all these time sinks, players are going to keep their subscriptions for longer. And even once they had the, once you had the flight plans, you're still waiting 5 or 7 minutes to get from one area to another area with a flight plan, which is just ridiculous when you're trying to get something done. And so you end up spending a lot of time just sitting there looking at your computer going, wow, this is kind of boring. And I hated that. So I love games that have the fast travel option. You got to have that in there these days.
Yeah. So yeah, lots of Rise of the Tomb Raider, or, you know, a fairly good amount. Also been playing a good amount of Destiny. I was working on this particular quest to get a certain shotgun, which has a bunch of steps to it, and some of them are a real pain in the butt, but I finally finished it all, and I just have to wait until the weekly reset to actually obtain the gun.
Weekly reset? Is it an online game?
Yeah. It's an MMO of sorts. Yeah, I mean, you haven't played it because it's a console-only game right now.
Oh, okay.
I don't think regular Destiny is going to come to PC. I would assume Destiny 2 will, but honestly, they haven't, you know, said one way or the other.
Right.
So we'll have to wait and see on that. But yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it still, of course. I mean, I put in, you know, well over 400 hours into the game since about a year ago, so I definitely still enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They had a special event going on this past week called Crimson Doubles for Valentine's Day. It's you join up with another player, and it's all PvP, but it's 2v2 elimination. First team to get five wins is the winner of the match. Whenever one person on the team dies, the other person gets a buff to their speed, or I mean their agility, their recovery, and their armor. And so everything gets maxed out during that time, so they have a chance to take out opponents. And I played with one of our followers on Twitter, Dave Hunt, who's with PlayStation Nation Podcasts. Well, actually, just with PS Nation in general, writes for the site as well.
Okay.
And we had one match where we were down. The opposing team had 4 wins out of the 5, and we just had 1. And you know, so it was match point, and the guys were literally dancing on our corpses because there are dance emotes that you get in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were using one of the newest ones, which is from Hotline Bling, which I've never even heard the song apart for, I mean, I know what it is because I've heard of it, but anyway. So the guy was dancing on our corpses, and we came back and we not only tied it, but we won. And that was the most satisfying thing ever. If I managed to record it, which I think I might have hit the share button a little too late, then I am hoping to get, I want to get that posted up just because it was such a satisfying victory. But I think I might have. It only records 15 minutes at a time by default, and I think I might not have done it until after it had been more than 15 minutes since the end of the match. So, but anyway. So yeah. Plenty of Destiny. I got Megan into this card game called Yu-Gi-Oh!, which is sort of like Magic, but not exactly the same thing. But it is a strategic kind of card game. And so I bought 2 copies of the Game Boy Advance game, Yu-Gi-Oh! Worldwide Edition Stairway to the Destined Duel. And it's one I had played, you know, a long time ago, but I haven't owned it in a long time, and it's one that I knew was a really good one for being able to play, getting a variety of cards, because I don't have a whole lot of cards myself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, even though I kept all the ones I had, I just don't have that many. And this way, you get access to a lot of cards, and you know, it's just easier to have more variety, and you can just you get a huge amount of playtime. And so I'm hoping to track down a link cable for Game Boy Advance, since I already have two of them, and then that way Megan and I can play together sometime.
It's one thing my wife and I have never done in almost 12 years is played a video game together. Just not something she does.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, Megan likes Mario Kart, and occasionally we'll come across something else. She's really obviously not really into video games, but occasionally I can get her into something, and this one I think is one that's going to work out pretty well, since she enjoyed playing with the cards themselves, and yeah.
That's great. I think it's awesome if you have that to be in common.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, I got a... Since I write for Geeks Worldwide, I got a key for the Hitman beta on PS4. So I'm going to check that out later today. It's just, I think it's just two missions, but they're replayable.
Okay.
So I want to check that out, and I'll probably be writing on it. And I also entered for the Mirror's Edge Catalyst beta for PC, but it's not a guaranteed thing. You just sign up for it, and
yeah, just got an
you have
email
a chance
about
to
that.
Get in. So
I haven't responded to it, but I think I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah, it's definitely worthwhile. I mean, I think the game is going to be awesome, especially if it's even close. I mean, it's supposed to be better than the original one, and I like the original quite a bit.
So. Right.
Other than that, I haven't really been playing anything else. So what have you been watching lately?
You know, what have I been watching? Probably haven't been watching a whole lot. I'd like to go see Deadpool, but I can't. It just doesn't fall into my moral compass as much as I'd like to see it. You know, most of what I'm doing right now is going through Stargate SG-1 with my 10-year-old. And, nice. You know, as a geek, raising a geek, it's pretty awesome because he takes a lot of pride in that and being able to be a geek and enjoy that part of his life. So he's loving Stargate. He actually, it was really cool here in the Copper River Valley. There's a local newspaper. And when we first moved here, I told the newspaper about my son and they had him write a story. So he wrote a 13-piece serialized science fiction story. And as we got more and more into the story, I started to see more and more aspects of the mythology of Stargate SG-1 and the science behind Stargate SG-1, the quasi-pseudoscience, came into his story. So he started to get more and more ideas about wormholes and event horizons and all these things that he was seeing on SG-1, which was great to see him kind of incorporate that into his writing. You know, and so he's really growing with that and loving that. And I think I told you guys last time, he's an enormous fan of all things Minecraft. We limit his time on the computer. He only gets about, anywhere between 20 and 40 minutes a day on Minecraft because he's only 10. I mean, unlike, you know, those of us who are adults, he can't choose the amount of time he gets on it. But what he can do in 20 minutes or 40 minutes on Minecraft is just astounding. And that's kind of... So what I'm doing right now is, you know, I try to take every opportunity I can to, you know, do things with him. And, of course, my other two. But he's the geek in the family, so we try to geek out as often as we can. We did watch The Martian. Came out a while back, and that was a fun one. My wife and I watched that. Really not much else. Stargate SG-1 is pretty much eating up my time right now.
I've heard good things about The Martian, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, you know, it was good. You know, it was one that made you think a little bit, but I didn't walk away from that going, wow, that was the greatest movie I've ever seen. You know, it was worth, you know, hanging out with your wife for a while and watching a movie, though.
Yeah. Well, let's see here. Stuff I've been watching. We recently got season 6 of Downton Abbey, so we watched through that last weekend. Or
now, are you doing that voluntarily or because your wife asked you to?
I actually like it. It's actually a really well-done show. It's really interesting.
Yeah, okay.
Have you watched it before?
No, and then don't give me that, you know, you got to watch it to find out if you like it stuff. I can have my unreasonable and illogical dislike of things just because of what they're called.
Yeah, I mean, and I can understand that. I mean, like, I avoid that stuff in general, but, you know, I had heard from a number of people, you know, whose opinions I respect, that it was a good show, and so we started watching it several years ago. I think around the time season 2 was ended, and then from there, you know, we've been getting the seasons as they've been coming out and watching through. But yeah. No, I mean, it is a really good series, and I think you would actually like it. Hmm. I mean, it's not all, like, just focused on romance and stuff like that, you know? It's not the chick flick of TV shows as it would appear to be. It actually has a lot that goes on, and one of the things I really appreciate about it is that it shows that there are consequences to people's actions, and that it's not all just like, you know, you can do all these horrible things or these stupid things, and you can just get away with it, and nothing ever happens from it.
Right.
Like popular culture would have us believe for the most part.
Sure.
And yeah. It also, you know, it just covers a lot of the transitions for early 20th century England, you know, going from the way things were before the war with, you know, having lords and ladies and that sort of thing, to transitioning over to, you know, just all the changes that happened, you know, with the war and everything beyond that. So.
Well, I would like to say I might check it out, but chances are I never will. But I'm glad you're enjoying it. I did watch a show like that. My wife asked me to watch Christie several years back. We just finished watching Stargate: The Next Generation, which I kind of had to force her to sit and watch. And she said,
"Stargate: Fine. The Next Generation."
Star Trek: The Next Generation. And she said, "Fine, I'll do that with you." As long as you watch something I want. And so as soon as we finished that, we started watching Christie, which is set in, you know, 18th century or 19th century Appalachia and Kentucky and the Blue Mountains down there. And I thought I was going to hate it, but I ended up loving it. But, you know, as long as my wife doesn't force me to watch Downton Abbey, I'm not gonna get into it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. It's all good.
Yeah. Other than that, I finally decided to watch the Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yes.
Which I have mixed feelings about. I feel like they did a really good job maintaining who the turtles were, you know, their personalities, their relationships with one another.
Uh-huh.
But apart from that, I didn't really care for it. I mean, they definitely had some nods to, you know, like this, like the 80s cartoon and everything.
Right.
The 80s and 90s cartoon. Which was great. I mean, I appreciate that. But, like, I still haven't quite gotten over the design of the turtles, for one. And some of the other casting just wasn't very good. And then, of course, their bizarre ways of how the turtles came to be is, I don't like the fact that they changed their origin story. I just thought it was stupid.
I hate it when they do that. They did that with G.I. Joe. They did that with the Turtles. Yeah. Anytime that with the, I actually don't know how much they changed it with the Transformers, but anytime they change an origin story, it makes me sick. So I try not to watch remakes.
Yeah. I just gave it a shot because it was free to watch on Amazon and.
Oh yeah, like, I watched when it came out a couple years back, but I think that was probably the one that really pushed me over the edge with just not liking, like you said, not liking the way they changed the origin story.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll probably watch the second one after it comes out when it's free to watch, just because I'm curious, especially since they're going to have Krang in there, but. And I think, I can't remember if they said if they showed Bebop and Rocksteady, or if I'm mixing that up with the game that's coming out.
Oh, okay.
Bebop, but either way,
yeah, were cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'll check it out just because I'm curious, but it's not like one that I have any intent to buy. I definitely didn't like the first one enough to buy it.
Sure, yeah, I can understand that.
But Let's see here. Other than that, plenty of Mythbusters. We finished up season 8.
Always good with Mythbusters.
Started season 9.
There, I'll just set him up, and he can be my avatar from now on. How's that? Nobody's going to see that. Anyway, or I don't know if anybody's watching, but...
Right now we don't have any viewers, and my guess is we probably won't get anyone. People don't usually check out the video version, but who cares?
Oh, okay.
Okay, and then other than Mythbusters, watch some more Cheers, working on season 5. And last night when we were staying at the hotel we were at, we watched Age of Ultron.
Is it out on video already?
Yeah, it's been out for a while. We just hadn't bought it yet, and we were just surfing through the channels, and it had just started, so we went ahead and watched it again.
Okay.
It was better watching it this time, because when we watched it the first time, we saw it opening weekend, and unfortunately we got in on an evening showing when 3D was the only thing left, and we had to sit pretty close to the front, which was not enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, actually, just in terms of TV shows, I'll talk to you about another one as soon as you're done telling all your shows that you're watching.
Oh, I'm done.
Oh, okay. That was it. I did pick up Scrubs, or started watching Scrubs on Netflix, which I had never seen before. And I had some friends actually back in college that watched it and loved it and, wasn't sure about it. And it's a little bit different than most medical shows, but I've enjoyed it. I think it's got some humor, and of course it's got some typically bad life decisions, but apart from those, it's got some real issues that I think medical professionals deal with. So it's been fun. That's kind of what I've been having on in the background when I'm just trying to play a game or something is Scrubs. It kind of keeps me entertained for now.
There you go. Yeah, I watched, probably like 5 or 6 episodes of that years ago, but I just never really continued it. I mean, I thought it was pretty funny what I saw, but I just never got back into it, so.
Yeah,
I might.
I can understand.
It's been on my queue for a long time, but I just haven't, tried getting back into it.
What I would recommend is a good binge session to get started, because it takes a while to get to where you actually care enough about the characters. And that's what I needed. I needed a good, solid 3-hour block where I could watch 6 or 7 episodes back to back to back in order to actually care enough about the characters to keep going. And that's what I've found with almost every show is, the way TV is watched these days. I've got to binge watch it. I haven't watched a TV show as it comes out since they started. At least not in the last, few years, I guess, since binge watching started. Because I just have to be able to get to where I care enough about the characters, and you can't do that in the few minutes that are there.
Yeah, it's like I tried to watch Friends last year, and because it was, it finally came up on Netflix, and it's like everybody said it was so great. In the past, episodes I'd seen here and there, I just didn't really click with me, and said, okay, well, I'll give it a shot. It's on Netflix. I watched like 6 episodes, and it still didn't click with me at all. I was just like, I'm done.
Yeah, that's the way I was. My wife laughed at me for starting to watch it, and I said, well, I just wanted to see what it's like, and I think I got through maybe 3 or 4 episodes and went, not worth my time.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes, shows can start out that way, and then they can just end up being really, really good. Like, The Office was one where I watched the first few episodes or so, like season 1, and I just did not like it. And then I got through episode 4, and it started to grab me. And then from there, season 2 and 3 were really, really good. Mm-hmm. And, I watched the whole series, but,
I've had that happen with video games a lot. Like, XCOM was a perfect example of one, where the first time I played the opening intro to XCOM, I was like, well, this is kind of lame. And then I went back to it, maybe even a good year later, and went, well, I spent the money on it, I might as well play it. And that's when I got caught up in it. So, yeah, I think a lot of it just depends on the mood that we're in when we're watching something to see whether or not it grabs you and you start to care about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you got anything else?
As far as what goes, like, what do you mean?
Just, you know, so have you been watching or playing or anything like that before we go to news?
You know, I've been really busy lately, so this has been a busy month. So that's pretty much where it is. Hopefully, I'll get a little bit more time in the next couple weeks to play a little bit more and to spend some more time doing those things. But I just haven't had time lately.
Yeah. All right. Well, then we are going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll get into the news.
The news.
Alright, we are back. In case you forgot, you've been listening to the Frozen Gamers Podcast, episode 87. So we're going to continue the show this evening with news. And there is quite a bit of stuff that's been going on lately. So first off, I wanted to cover a couple things related to PC, since both of us are PC gamers, and we don't often have a whole lot to specifically talk about for PC. So one of the first things is that Quantum Break, which previously was going to be an Xbox One exclusive, has been confirmed to coming to Windows 10 later this year. I believe it's March 5th, maybe? Something like that. It might not be that soon. I think I might be mixing up dates. But it is coming to PC, which I think is awesome, because I always thought that game looked really interesting, and I've heard good things about it. From what little has been played. And, yeah, looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and it looks like it's going to be a pretty decent game. I had never heard of it until right now. Let's see. April 4th? No, that's okay, never mind. Sometime it's coming up, but apparently some people don't like the fact that they're porting it over, which is stupid. People whine and complain much as video gamers.
Yeah. I mean, it's because it was an Xbox One exclusive, and so they're just, you know, feeling burned. But it's like, well, Microsoft has really burned PC gamers in, you know, over the past decade or so. They haven't done anything with PC. And
they haven't.
It's nice to see that they're actually making an effort, you know, to do that now.
I gotta say, that's the one thing about being a PC gamer that makes me angry, is when they make exclusives, like The Last of Us, that was exclusive for PS4. I know why they're doing it,
yeah.
But at the same time, I want to be able to play the games, and you know, I can. My computer will handle it, but they just choose to keep it exclusive for the financial side of it, and I just think that's kind of lame. But that's just me.
I mean, and it's also because of the fact that the developer of like a game like The Last of Us is a first party developer for Sony. So
right. Yeah, I see it. I just really wish that I could play it, because I can't, and it makes me want to cry.
Well, you know, someday if I have a time when I'm not using my PS4 for a bit, you can borrow my PS4 and The Last of Us.
Hey, there you go. I'll definitely take you up on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not the easiest thing to get used to aiming with a joystick, but the reality is most of the time you're going to want to try to play stealthy anyway, because it's just...
Right.
you have limited resources and all that, but it's definitely a game worth playing.
Now, that's kind of a zombie game, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I mean, they're not exactly zombies, but it's... Yeah, I mean, but it's more about the story than anything else, the story and the characters, and it's just really well done.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know that it was pretty amazing when it came out, so yeah, I'll definitely check it out. Yep. I've actually been thinking about getting another console. Our Wii U is not quite doing it for me anymore, but I don't know, we'll see. I've bought consoles and not played them very much, you know, played a few hours on a game, and that's just not been worth it for me, so I haven't pulled that trigger yet.
Well, I would say if you do decide to get a console, I would say either go for the PlayStation 4 or wait for the next Nintendo console.
Yeah, that's... is that 2017 or 2000? Yeah, it's 2017,
well,
right?
Yeah, it should be 2017. I mean, they haven't officially given any details, but it'll probably be next year.
Right, right. Yeah, that might not be a bad idea, because then I can play some of the better games on it and still play the good Nintendo games.
Yeah. But if you did decide to go with PS4, I mean, you could try to get into Destiny. I mean, I always did. I never liked aiming with the joystick before, but Destiny, it just feels so good with a controller that you can get used to it. I mean, I did, so I'm sure you can. And plus, you know, there's lots of people who play, and it's a really fun one.
Yeah. Well, I'll think about it and talk to my wife. Of course, gotta go through her before I make any sort of purchase like that.
Yeah, and then another thing is that would also give you a chance to play the Uncharted games, which are excellent. And the first
Uncharted's
one wasn't
on
as
PC.
Good. No, it's not. It was PS3, and then they ported 1, 2, and 3 to PS4.
I think you're wrong.
No, let me Uncharted. Check. Uncharted is made by Naughty Dog, which is a PlayStation, is a Sony first party developer.
Really?
You might be thinking of something else. I'm not sure what else has a similar title, but no, Uncharted is a PlayStation exclusive franchise.
So. I should have known that you'd know more about that than I do. What was a Just Cause? I was getting
Just Cause, yeah.
Just Cause, yeah.
Well,
because they sound similar.
Well, I mean, the guy from Just Cause looks a lot like Nathan Drake from Uncharted, so that's another thing.
Ah, okay.
They actually do look a lot alike, but yeah, I mean, there's those three got ported to PS4, and Uncharted 4 is coming out pretty soon. I think in a couple, like April.
Or a Thief's
April or May,
End.
I can't remember. Yeah, it's supposed to be the final game for him, which would be good. But then there's also, of course, The Last of Us, which I could let you borrow or you could buy. It's not too expensive. And there's Infamous, which, I mean, you could only play the most recent one on PS4 since they haven't ported the other two. But it is really good. It is really, really fun.
Hmm.
And yeah, there's lots of great games on Sony, and there are some good kid kind of games too. Like they're remaking the original Ratchet and Clank for PS4.
Huh.
And that's
cool.
Coming out very soon, and that one looks like it's going to be really great because the original kind of sucks.
That's funny.
It just has severe input lag, like really bad.
Oh.
I mean, the second one, they totally fixed that, but the first one, it just has such bad input lag, and there's some other issues with it. But anyway, back to PC news. So, on top of the whole thing with Quantum Break coming to PC, while Microsoft hasn't been entirely clear on what exactly this means, they said that future titles for Xbox One will be cross-buy with Windows 10. Meaning if you buy it on one platform, you get it on the other.
But that's cool.
They didn't specify whether all titles are coming to PC or not. I'm hoping that's the case, because there are definitely other Xbox One games that I've been really interested in, but I just, you know, I never bought an Xbox One, and if it comes to PC, then I'm definitely not buying an Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So that could be a really good thing, and I think it would just be a nice way for Microsoft to build those bridges again with PC gamers and, you know, give people a reason to buy more of their products.
Right, yeah. I think it'd be great. I think these companies need to really work on courting all of the gamers across the entire spectrum instead of just focusing on one group and then just, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Other PC news. Doom, I think it's basically a reboot, really, of Doom. I'm not sure if it's considered a reboot or if it's considered just like Doom 4 or 5, whatever it's at now. But that's coming on May 13th. And I guess that's not specifically PC, that's really a multi-platform. But
yep, Doom 4 first-person shooter released on May 13th, 2016. Yeah, you know, I liked the original Doom games, so...
Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie?
I never did, no.
Yeah, I wonder how well they did it. Because they're doing another first-person shooter movie. And people keep saying it's the first first-person shooter movie. But then I, you know, keep wanting to point out the fact that Doom came out several years ago with The Rock.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a first-person shooter, basically, so... Yeah, this one looks pretty sweet. I'll definitely get that. I might wait for the summer sale. If it comes out in May, it'll probably be on sale at least 15% or so come June when the summer sale hits.
Yeah, I'm basically just waiting on games like that until I actually know for sure I'm going to play them right away, because otherwise I'll just buy it and it'll sit in my Steam library and I won't do anything with it.
I've got so many of those. I hate that.
Yeah.
We never have enough time to play them all before the new ones come out.
Titanfall 2, which originally was Xbox and PC only, is coming... I mean, it's probably coming to PS4 as well for Titanfall 2. And it's actually going to have a single-player campaign this time, so it's not going to be just online multiplayer like it was before.
Okay.
So I think that's pretty cool. I fiddled a tiny bit with the beta before the original Titanfall came out, and I liked the little bit that I played, but my laptop didn't run it that well, and by the time I got back to trying it, the beta was already over, and I never got around to trying it again. But I'm definitely more interested in the game if it actually has a campaign, because I don't really want a game that's exclusively PvP stuff. I can enjoy that, but you know, most of the time I'm just going to get wrecked, and so I'd rather, you know, just enjoy my PvE and move on.
Yep, that's almost exclusively where I am. I hate getting destroyed in PvP games.
Oh, let's see here. What else we got? It's been confirmed now that the standalone, I think it's just going to be a single episode standalone, Telltale Games The Walking Dead Michonne is coming on February 23rd.
Yeah, I've never watched it, never read the comics, I never played any games. I don't know anything about The Walking Dead, which really I guess is kind of sad, but true nonetheless.
Well, I mean, I can't say as much about the show because I still haven't finished season 5, but what I can say is that the Telltale Games series is really, really well done and is definitely worth checking out. I mean, because it won't take you long to get through at least the first season. And, I mean, the second season wasn't as good as the first season, but it's still, you know, your choices all have impact on how everything goes in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just, it's really, really well done. And like I said, it's a short enough game that you can get through it in a single sitting.
Yeah.
Even if you decide to go back and retry different things, you know, if you feel like you made the wrong decision and you want to try something different, you know, you could still get through it in a few hours easily.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I'll probably be checking that out, but it's not going to be a day one purchase for me. I mean, I'm interested, but yeah.
I can understand that, yeah.
Now, is there any other PC news you can think of?
You know, I guess
or just news in general that you want to talk about.
No, you know, I was, you know, I get most of my PC news off of Steam, and I know we just got done with the winter solstice, or not winter solstice, the Lunar New Year sale, which I just love the fact that Steam is always coming up with new sales, but I'm still really excited for the street date for The Division. Looks like my computer's going to be able to handle it, and that's coming up on March 8th, and that one's really got me tickled pink, so I think that's going to take up a lot of my time. I love Tom Clancy's books. I love Tom Clancy's games. You know, everything of his that I've ever played. I love the Splinter Cell series. And so I think this is supposed to be like Splinter Cell on steroids. So that's kind of, you know, my biggest focus is what The Division is going to do. And I really hope that it is as good as they're claiming it's going to be, because I'm going to be really ticked off if I spend $60 on the game and it's terrible.
Yeah.
And with your computer, yeah, it should run, it should scream on your computer, so you should consider that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm considering it, but I do have at least one new game coming in March that I'm definitely getting. And beyond that, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, clear some of my backlog, especially now that I have a PC that can run all my games.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I finish up Tomb Raider, and I also want to play through the rest of Quantum Conundrum, and what's the other one that I was working on? Oh, Dishonored. And probably Wolfenstein, New Order.
See, I can't play multiple games at once.
Well, I'm not talking about multiple games at once. These are just kind of my list of games that I want to complete next.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I hope I get through. I hope I have the time to get through XCOM 2, because it looks like a great game, and I just want to. I want to get through that and ready for The Division to drop when it does.
Yep. Well, we do have some other news specifically related to Destiny, which obviously this isn't going to be that relevant to you personally, Scott, since you haven't played it. But to those of our listeners who are players of Destiny, first off is Bungie has announced that, for one, Destiny is going to be getting a new level cap of sorts. It's not exactly a level cap, but that's just the way that you'd understand it since you haven't played the game. A new light level increase, and that's coming this spring, as well as additional PvE content, which will be really nice. And then they are saying that they're going to be doing another large expansion late this year, which is supposed to be around the same size as the Taken King was, which is excellent because that gave a lot of new content. And then they're doing a full the full sequel is coming sometime in 2017. So that is pretty sweet as far as I'm concerned. Rumors were going around that there wasn't going to be any new content apart from little events here and there for the rest of this year. So I'm glad to hear that there actually is going to be more stuff. And what exactly that's going to be is yet to be seen, but I am very happy to have more content for that game, because it's a great game.
Yeah.
And then one other thing related to Destiny is Crimson Doubles, the PvP mode that I was talking about earlier that's going on up through the end of this week until the reset, it's had a really low drop rate for a particular item, the ghost shells which, of course, you don't know what I'm talking about, but listeners will. And because of that, what Destiny's going to do, I mean, what Bungie's going to do for players of Destiny who have completed at least 7 matches in Crimson Doubles is they're guaranteed to get one of these 320 light level ghosts. So that is going to be really helpful. And that's going to be coming, I believe they said, by February 23rd, which would be not this coming weekly reset, but the following. So that makes me happy because I don't have anything that high. And I did quite a few matches. I don't know if I did 7 or not, but if not, I'm going to make sure I get at least a couple more in before the reset so that I can get that.
Yeah, well, I'm familiar with low drop rates in MMOs. That's all the same. It's the same across the board. Anytime you got something dropping, if it's not dropping enough, people get ticked.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest issue is that these particular items are specifically tied to this event. Mm-hmm. And since this event is going over such a short period of time, having such a low drop rate kind of, it just makes it a lot more frustrating because, you know, you only have this one chance, basically, to get it, and
yeah, now are they vanity, or is it something that actually has a purpose?
It contributes to your defense level as well as your overall light level, which it's a little complicated to explain, but basically, I guess light level is a combination of is the average between your weapon and armor. Your attack and defense levels. It's a number that's an average of those two, and it determines what activities you can get into, how powerful you are, essentially.
Kind of like a gear score, then, in, played Dungeons & Dragons Online for a while. It wasn't all about your level, it was about what your gear score was, and that was basically an average between your attack and defense to see whether or not you could actually make it through any particular dungeon at any time.
Yeah, it sounds like that's exactly the same thing. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. It's a big improvement over what they used to have. The more and more I'm actually thinking about getting a PS4.
Oh, the one thing that you do have to be aware of, though, with PS4 that I forgot to mention is that you do have to have PlayStation Plus in order to play online. It's $50 a year, but it's you get online play, but you also get quote-unquote free games every month. So it's actually, I mean, it really pays for itself just with the games you get, because, you know, typically you get 2 games per system that you own, or, I mean, you know, per each of the PlayStation systems available right now, so PS4, PS3, and Vita, and some of them are cross-platform, so sometimes you'll end up with, like, 3 or 4 games for, you know, one of those systems.
Right.
Just because of that.
Well, I'll think about it. We'll see what happens. I know the next wave of Madden games are going to be coming out this spring, so that's always important once the NFL draft is done, because I got to get my sports games in.
Yeah. Speaking of annual franchises, there's not going to be an Assassin's Creed game this year.
Really?
Which is, yeah, it's
they just not officially like money or something?
I think they just decided to hold off on the franchises here. I don't know exactly why, but I think it's probably a good thing, because they've had one every year for the past, like, 13 years or something. I mean, no, it hasn't been that long. No, I'm wrong. It's the first one, I think, came out in 2006 or 2007, so they've had one every year since then.
Yeah, but people buy them every year since then. So, I mean, you know, they know that if they drop the game that people are going to go buy it. So it just seems strange to me that they wouldn't do it. But
yeah, I mean, for one reason or another, I don't think it's entirely a bad thing. I think it's probably just because they have had so many and there have been, like, varying degrees of success. I mean, like, I think the one that came out last fall was supposed to be really good, but then the two before it were not so good. Or maybe no, the one before it was not so good, and the one before that was good, and the one before that was not good. It's anyway. Point is, they're not doing a new Assassin's Creed game this year, and I'm okay with that.
Mm. Yeah, no.
I tried to play 3, because I bought 3 and 4 both on Wii U, and I tried playing 3, and it just did not grab me at all. I mean, I played several hours into it, and I just didn't get into it. I've heard that 3 is just not is like that, that it takes quite a while to pick up, and that 4 is a much better game, but...
Yeah, well, I've got sitting here in my Steam library right now Creed, Creed 2, Creed Brotherhood, and Creed Revelations, and I could never get past the first hour or so of Creed. I just hated the PC controls and never picked up any of the others. So they're sitting there, and I've had them in my, 2012, 10 of 2012. So over 3 years that they've been sitting in my library that I've never played them.
Well, it does make a difference having a controller, because those games are really designed for controllers.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah. Either way, yeah, I mean, I may eventually get into it. I want to give it another shot, at least try 4, but I don't know. I may just end up giving up on them completely, because it's just like, hey, I have so many games to play, and these games didn't cost me that much. And
yeah, that's what I did with them. I got them all as a bundle. You know, you buy one of them, and they all came during a sale, so I didn't spend jack on them, really. And I was okay with that.
Another thing from Ubisoft is that they've confirmed they are working on Watch Dogs 2, and that it's supposed to be coming before April 1st of next year.
Hmm. That'd be
pretty cool. I'm very interested in that, because, I mean, the first one, it definitely was far from a perfect game. It had a lot of flaws.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping that they learned enough from the criticism they got for the first game to where the second one could really actually be good.
Mm-hmm. We always hope that.
I think, yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest things that I really like to see them do is make it so that hacking can have more of a presence in the game. Like, it can be a little bit, like, you can do more encounters without having to go in guns blazing or, mm-hmm. you know, without having to kill anyone. Because there were some encounters, some situations where I could get through the entire thing without even ever entering the area. All I did was just use the cameras to hack into things, and that was one of the most satisfying things I've ever been able to do in a game.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were so many situations where it's like you have to go in and you have to fight enemies. And I really wish they could just make it so that's not a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. What else we got? Well, I guess we have some Nintendo news. One of the first things is that there's a rumor that Super Smash Bros. Is going to be launching with the NX.
Hmm.
There's no real details to the rumor, but it's pretty safe to say that if the rumor is true, it would be a port of the Wii U version, because there is no way that they could possibly have another one ready to go if the system's launching in 2017.
Right.
I mean, it took them years just to put together the last one, and I mean, they should launch with the Wii U version, I think, because the Wii U version is, I mean, it's, in my opinion, it's the definitive version of Smash Brothers,
mm-hmm.
and it's you know, received wide praise, and I really hope that if they do launch it that way, that they'll include some of the stuff that was in the 3DS version that wasn't in the Wii U version,
mm-hmm.
like some of the stages and that sort of thing. But the roster right now is up to 58 characters.
Wow.
The game itself launched with 51 characters, and that's not including the ones that you can create yourselves. And then they released, I think, 5 or 6... Let me see. I can't remember the exact number. I'd have to figure it out in my head. Let's see, here we got Mewtwo, Lucas, Roy, Ryu. Anyway, it's like I think it's 7 or 8 characters. But anyway, they did a number of DLC characters, which actually the last two just came out last week. And actually, that was one thing I forgot to write down as a game I played was Smash Brothers with the new characters.
Oh, cool.
That I got. Bayonetta from the 2 Bayonetta games, and Corrin, who's a character for the new Fire Emblem that's coming out pretty soon. And both really cool fighters. But
okay.
Anyway. So yeah, this is, obviously, it's just a rumor. There's really no way of being absolutely sure about it. But it seems like it's a pretty logical rumor, especially since Wii U has not done very well. And it would be, good incentive for people who never bought a Wii U but would love to play the new Smash Brothers to be able to, play it on the new console.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have to do really much of anything as far as visuals go, because, it was already 1080p, 60 frames per second, and, they could just include all the DLC characters, maybe throw in one of the characters that was left out because the 3DS version couldn't handle it, and, anyway.
Yeah. That's another game that I never was able to get into. I don't know if I missed it just in terms of my age, or that I wasn't playing games when it came out and became popular. But yeah, the Super Smash Brothers, it's just, I look at it and yeah, it just doesn't do anything. I loved to play the fighter games back in the day, Tekken, and even older than that, Super Street Fighter and all that. But by the time Smash Brothers came out, it was just, I think now that I think about it, it's probably that it was at a period of time in my life where I wasn't playing a lot of games. And so it came out and got popular, and I was like, oh, okay, well, I don't really care about it. And then I got into games later, and I've always been more into the strategy games, RTSs and turn-based strategy and all that. So that's kind of where I stayed, but I know a lot of people love it.
Yeah, the way I like to explain Smash Brothers to people is that it's the fighting game for people who don't like fighting games.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's basically the Mario Kart of fighting games.
Yeah.
It has a really wide appeal, and it's a lot of fun. I like you, I used to play a lot of fighting games like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, and pretty much before I owned any of my own consoles, fighting games were my bread and butter. That was basically all I played.
Mm-hmm.
That and like platformers. But once I got into Smash Brothers, it's just the mechanics are really solid. It's the kind of game that anyone can pick up and play. And while, there are some people who are way better than I can ever possibly be at the game and all the advanced mechanics, it's simple enough to pick up for anyone, and it is just a blast beating the crap out of different characters and trying out all these different characters. They just recently added Cloud from Final Fantasy VII to Smash Brothers.
Cool.
And he is fantastic in there. He really works well. And it's kind of funny that he's in it because Final Fantasy VII has never been on a Nintendo platform. Cloud has made appearances in, a couple of Kingdom Hearts games, but that's really it.
Huh.
As far as his actual presence on a Nintendo platform. Well, I guess there's also the at-rhythm games, which are music rhythm games.
Uh-huh.
3DS, but yeah. So, anyway, off of the Smash Brothers topic, Club Nintendo's finally getting its replacement called My Nintendo, and it's coming in March. They haven't given full details on it yet, but they have said basically that points are accumulated through smartphones and consoles, smart devices, so smartphones, tablets, iPod, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is probably there will be some code entry, just like there was with Club Nintendo. Hopefully they're getting rid of the surveys because they know how much people hated those. But they're going to give different kinds of points for it, or maybe it's just after you get to a certain point it becomes type of points. Platinum points will be used for Club Nintendo style rewards, various things with that, and then gold points are for savings and special deals on Nintendo games.
Okay.
So.
Well, that sounds like it'd be fun.
I mean, I'm hoping that it's going to be an improvement over Club Nintendo, because there were definitely some frustrating things about it, and it would be nice to have something that's a little more... that's less tedious
mm-hmm.
when it comes to actually registering your Nintendo games
mm-hmm.
and all that. But yeah, I'm sure we'll find out more about that soon. I would imagine there will be a Nintendo Direct sometime in the near future. You know, they haven't announced it yet.
You know, it's amazing how the gaming industry has changed in the last 25 years. Because I remember when just having a subscription to Nintendo Power made you the best video gamer that there was anywhere. And now, it's not just a subscription to Nintendo Power. There's podcasts and there's... tens of thousands of sites, and it's just amazing at what the gaming industry has become.
Yeah, of course, Nintendo Power has been gone now for past 4 years, unfortunately.
Yeah, the fact that they got rid of that. But, you know, if there's no money in it, you know, you got to go where the money is. And, you know, people aren't going to spend money on Nintendo Power when you can Google something and get all the tips and tricks for free.
Yeah, I liked it mostly for... I mean, they didn't really do tips and tricks as much towards the end, but I definitely enjoyed the writing that they did, you know, their interviews and information on new games and reviews and whatnot. But
Right.
Yeah. It needed to adapt, and it didn't, and so it had to end.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and I'm okay with that.
Last piece of news I got here under Nintendo, in fact, it's the last piece of news I have, period, right now, is regarding Twilight Princess HD, that is Zelda Twilight Princess HD coming to Wii U. They've showed off some of the new features using the gamepad, which basically does all the same exact things that Wind Waker HD did. The main difference is that it also has amiibo support. Which the Link, Zelda, and Sheik amiibo all actually Link, Zelda, Sheik, and Toon Link all have functions for replenishing either your arrows or your hearts. I think they can only be used once a day. The Ganondorf amiibo has the ability. I mean, when you scan him in, you take double damage, and if you couple that with hero mode, which is everything mirrored, and you take double damage and no hearts drop from enemies, it basically makes it so you have the Dark Souls of Zelda games, and you're taking four times the amount of damage with every hit.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
And then the Wolf Link amiibo, which is one that's coming with the game for people who... pre-ordered it. I believe they're also going to be doing that one separately. Makes it that you have the ability to access a special challenge dungeon that's just with Wolf Link the whole time.
Huh, that's cool.
But yeah, I mean, it has inventory management with the gamepad screen. Of course, it has off-TV play. It has... motion control aiming as an option for the bow and arrow and claw shots and that sort of thing. And it is the GameCube version, except up-resed. So it's no longer Wii Remote controls as an option. It's just GameCube controls.
Okay.
So.
Well, cool.
I never played the GameCube version. I just played it on Wii, and... I mean, I have the GameCube version, but I never played it, because I got it long after I had already played through the Wii version, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I have that one pre-ordered, and I would definitely like an excuse to replay that game, and this will definitely be the definitive version. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. You know, anytime they do something with Zelda, I just love it. You know, I've been playing that game. Would they just celebrate the 30th anniversary? And I remember playing it when it very first came out, and I still go back to the original Adventures of Zelda, and still I'm teaching my kids and making them go through it, and you know, every time they beat one of those bosses, they have the same sort of feelings of euphoria that I did when I beat one of those bosses for the first time. It's just phenomenal to watch.
Yeah, I have the original Legend of Zelda and Zelda 2, both gold cartridges for the NES.
Wow.
And so I definitely intend to start Rand with those when it comes to Zelda. The only thing is I think I need to replace the battery in there, because I played through, well, I went, let's see here, I went through the first 6 dungeons in the original Zelda, and then I died during the 6th dungeon. And when you have the choice between save, retry, or continue, or maybe that's... No, I think it's continue, retry, or reset. Something like that.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember. Anyway, I chose the wrong option.
Oh, no.
And the last time I had saved was after finishing the first dungeon. So instead of having 13 hearts, the... white sword and I can't remember what shield it was, but it was one of the better shields that you could have. You know, it's taking, like, instead of taking half damage and all that, I, you know, had to go way back. So I took a break from it for a while. I came back to it, and when I came back to it, I played to about the same point, died again. This time I made sure that I didn't make the same mistake. So I did save, and I turned off the game for the day, and when I came back to it, maybe a week later, all of my data was gone.
Wow. That's
so I'm pretty sure that, you know, a 25-plus-year-old battery in a Nintendo cartridge just died on me.
Yeah. Can you take those apart and put them back together without destroying them?
Yeah, I actually have the official tools, because I use it to clean out all my cartridges.
Okay.
Years ago.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, I haven't gotten back to that. I just need to find a new battery, and I think I might have to weld it in order to actually be able to use it. So
yeah,
I don't know, or solder it in. I mean, not weld it in.
Yeah, I hope you're not using a Tigger, a MIG welder, but yeah. I figured out what you were talking about.
Yeah. Yes, welding it would be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Anyway. Alright, so that's all I got for news. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we finish off for the night?
No, I'm good. I actually need to take off. My wife needs to take off here in just a minute, so I need to go hang out with my boys.
Alright, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll finish off the show with our closing thoughts. And we are back. In case you forgot, you've been listening to the Frozen Gamers Podcast, episode 87. So we're going to finish off the show this evening with our closing thoughts. Scott, why don't you start us off?
Well, let's see, what did I say last time? Mod your games. You know, this time my only closing thought is find something you really love and just enjoy it. Like, that's what I'm doing with XCOM right now. I just, you know, went back to a game I really loved. It wasn't anything new. I knew the story. I knew the progression, but it's just been fun, and anybody who's out there, you know, you get caught up in the bug to always have the newest, and that doesn't necessarily mean where we need to go. So find something you love and have fun playing it.
Okay, so my closing thoughts. I'm going to recommend that you play Yu-Gi-Oh! Worldwide Edition Stairway to the Destined Duel on Game Boy Advance. In my opinion, it is pretty much the best version of Yu-Gi-Oh! You can play, as far as video games go, because it has a ton of cards. It's really well balanced, I find, and you can enter codes for your own cards to bring them into the game if you want. Apart from that, I also want to recommend Costco Pizza, specifically the Supreme, or Combo Pizza, rather, as it is $10 for an amazing pizza. And I think that's about it. So if you'd like to subscribe to our podcast, you can do so by visiting iTunes. You can follow us on twitter.com/frozengamers. You can follow Scott on twitter.com/scosom. And you can go to our site, which is frozengamerspodcast.com. There we have all of our full episodes available to listen or download, each including specially designed artwork and featured music for the week. Be sure to write into us with questions, whether gaming-related or not, and comments on anything you've heard through the aforementioned sources or through our email address, which is frozengamerspodcast@gmail.com. For myself, Mr. Scott Summers, we are the Frozen Gamers, and we will be back with you next time.